of yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Christ our Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name. Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. Let's turn to Make Me More Like Thee on page 486. As Josiah comes up for prayer.
Amen. Good afternoon.
Amen.
Sister Trudy Mack says she has an acquaintance who is having surgery tomorrow for a suspicious cyst on her ovary. Pray that God will be in total control of the situation. Sister Charlotte says Sister Kathy Gabriel is sick. Please pray for her. Brother Joe says for a friend, his daughter lost a son. His daughter lost a son, 5 years old, of cancer. Last week, she got in a car accident. And her 2-year-old daughter got killed. So please pray for that family in that situation. Please raise your hand if you have an unspoken request. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. And thank you for all the blessings you've given us, Lord. And you know the needs your children have, Lord. And we know that you're the great comforter, Lord. And you can help anyone, Lord, who's lost a loved one and give them comfort and love divine, Lord, knowing that they'll see them on the other side, Lord. Help all the needs, Lord, and the ones who can't be here today and the ones who are traveling, Lord. Help Brother Vernon as he brings us your word, Lord, and just speak through his lips and let him be your mouthpiece. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's sing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot on page 164.
Carry me home. Swing
Sing Making Melody in Your Heart, page 439. Sister Rachel's class, please come up.
Just going to say, in Sunday school, we're learning our books of the Bible, and we are up to 2 Chronicles, so we want to sing that for you real quick, too.
Would Sister Monica's class and Brother Boyd's class come up?
Done what this world
Would Sister Christine's group come up?
I never had a feeling like that in all my life. Us to come here and be able to fellowship in your house again on this Sunday, Lord. And just, you know, pray for these offerings, Lord, just what you've done for us, and let us give it back to you, Lord, and give you what you're worth, Lord. And thank you for all things. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. While Michael takes offering, let's sing "What a Mighty God We Serve" on page 585. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore. What a mighty God we serve. Let's change the order of the service and sing "Open the Eyes of My Heart" as Brother Dale comes up. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart. That's your desire, then he'll do it.
I want to see you.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. partnered with us this afternoon, enjoyed the message this morning, looking forward to the word this afternoon. Amen. So let's just sing that as he comes to bring the message to us. You high in
Hallelujah. Can all bow our heads and let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, once again that you have given us this strength, Lord, to continue our service to you. This afternoon, Lord, we pray that you speak to our hearts again as you have spoken this morning and you have given us your message. We believe, Lord, that we, each one of us, have our portion for this day. And may you just continue to encourage us in our spiritual walk, believing, Lord, that one day you will come for us. And believing, Lord, that you will change our corruptible bodies, Lord, to incorruptible ones, Lord. And until that day, we need your word, Lord, to dress us up, Lord, and prepare us for your near coming. May you have your way in our midst today, and may you get all the glory and honor and thanksgiving in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. So before we sit down, we'd just like to read portion of the scriptures in the Old Testament where we'll get our text this afternoon service. And thank you for the musicians. And I put it on a slide for easier view. We'll be reading from the book of 2 Samuel chapter 23. We'll be reading the five verses here, starting from verse 8 until verse 12. Now, this is about David's three mighty men, right? And we are familiar that David is a mighty man of God, a man close to God's heart, but he has his men under him, right? And we want to get some principles and the characteristic of these people because this also will be applicable to our life. Now, in verse 8, it says here, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachumite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time." Though, so this not one after the other, but he slew it at one time. Okay. "And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defiled the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil." And in the next slide, verse 11, this is the third mighty man. He said, "And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a place, a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it." In other words, he was standing in that ground to defend it, and he slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. It was not a victory of the three mighty men, it was the victory of the Lord. And they were instruments in the hands of God. And so on the third slide is our subject for today. Stand your ground. Amen. God bless the word. May now be seated. Amen. Stand your ground. Hallelujah. I'd like to connect it somehow with our subject this morning, a broken spirit. You know, when God breaks our spirit, that means one day He will use us. He will use us to fight His battles, right? It's not our battle, it's the Lord's battle. But again, before, like a soldier in a training, they have to break the spirit of these trainees. And so they know how to obey the orders of the commanding officer. And we, as we close this morning, we are soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have, God has to break our spirit. And so when we go to our position, to our post, respective post of duty, then we will know how to obey the orders of our commanding officer, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. And just as an introduction, I would like to read one of the what the prophet said. As he said, as quick or as soon as you and I can realize that we are nothing, that's how quick God can go to work with us. As soon as we know that we are nothing, then God can start to work in us. God can start to use us. Now, our subject today is stand your ground. Now, what's stand your ground? This is actually a military term, a military order, which means to maintain our assigned position in the face of an imminent threat, danger, or opposition. So these three things has to appear, like threat, danger, and opposition. Because it's easy to stand on ground, is to stand your ground or stand in your actual position that God has given you if there are no threats. There are no opposition. There are no trials. There are no struggles. And it's just part of your comfort zone. And it's easy to stand your ground. But when threats come, dangers come, opposition comes, then we tend to, you know, to move away from the position that the Lord has given us. Thus, we are not fulfilling the will of God in our life. Now, when we talk of battles, when we talk of, you know, commanding officers and soldiers, we can always go back to the natural, because the natural always types the spiritual, right? And what happens in the natural, it happens in the spiritual. And so for us to understand how the Lord deals with us like soldiers of Christ, then we can look at the literal stories. You know, if you talk to old soldiers, they have many, many stories in their life. See, I had the experience of talking with the World War II veterans back in the 1980s, and they tell me stories, and you can just sit down and, you know, listen to them hour after hour, listening to this, to their testimonies. And I have this story that I, actually you can search it anywhere with our internet and everything, but this is a true story that happened. This is related to our subject today. In the next slide, you will see here, this is a picture of a Japanese soldier. He was actually 18 years old when he got enlisted into the Japanese Imperial Army, and he fought in World War II. So, of course, he is now dead, right? Yeah. And he was a Japanese holdout who did not surrender after, in August 1945, the war ended. But this young soldier during that time, by the name of Onoda, he spent 29 more years holding out in the Philippines. Yeah. He never thought that the war was over.
Yeah.
Because during those times, there was no cell phone, just rude radios, right? And after the war ended in the Philippines, the American pilots, they threw out some leaflets saying that war has ended. So they threw it in the countryside, in the provinces. Of course, in the city, they know that war has ended. The Japanese has surrendered. General Douglas MacArthur has returned. He liberated the Philippines, but there are many soldiers in the outskirts of the Philippines, in the provinces, in the islands, that they were tasked to hold on their ground, right? And this is one of them. And so the people were throwing these leaflets, when the American U.S. Air Force were throwing their leaflets, they have received it, they read this, but this particular person, he did not believe that the war was over. He said it might just be a tactics of the enemy for them to surrender, because he have three soldiers with him, so four of them. Okay, so they were holding their ground. Okay, now, the next slide, please. This is story. On December 26, 1944, a year before the war ended, he was sent to Lubang Island in the Philippines. That's somewhere in the middle of the Philippines. He was ordered to do all he could do to hamper enemy attacks in the island, including destroying the airstrip and the pier at the harbor, because, you know, that's where the Americans are coming in, the American Navy. Now, Onoda's orders was simple. His simple is to hold on to that island, to make sure that the enemies will not be there to enter, you know, to enter the airstrip and the pier. And his orders was also stated that under no circumstances was he to surrender or take his own life. So he cannot surrender. And you know, the Japanese, a Japanese soldier in World War II, he has a pair of swords. One is that long, one is that short. Okay? That long sword will be used to fight the enemy. Now, if he gets cornered, he uses the short sword to kill himself. Because they would rather die in their own hands rather than to die in them. That's a Japanese honor code. It's a silly thing, but it works with them. Right? I will not kill myself. I will kill the enemy, not myself, right? But for them, it's more honorable for them to kill themselves. So his order was very specific. Do not surrender and do not kill yourself. In other words, stand your ground until your commanding officer relieves you from your post of duty. And so, Onoda, being a very obedient soldier that he stood his ground in the mountains of Lubang Island. But it lasted for 29 years. So he was around 22 years old during that time. And when he was relieved on his post, he was about my age, right? He was 50 plus. So he spent the whole years of his life fighting a war that has ended. See? Now, he was there. Now, he has three soldiers. First soldier died because of sickness. The other died because of fighting. The other went on a wall and died along the way. So he was left for many years, trying to survive in those mountains, and he was there, right? Now, sometime in 1972, there was this young Japanese explorer who heard of this name, Onoda, and they believed that they were still in the jungles of the Philippines. So, he made an expedition, went to the Philippines, looked for Onoda, and then they found out that he was in this island, so he went there, talked to him, and told him that the war is over. Now, being a Japanese himself, they understood each other, but he tried to convince Onoda, let's go home, because the war is already over. But said, no, the only my commanding officer will relieve me from my post of duty. And so, this young man, the young Japanese, he went there, he said, he wanted that old soldier to go home to Japan, so he took the pictures, and he sent. But he went back to Japan and, you know, looked for his family and tell him that he's alive and the government. And he tried to look for his commanding officer. Because Onoda will only go out of that island if by the orders of the commanding officer. You see, this is the kind of soldier that we need to have right now. Right? And so he looked. Of course, this is 1972 from the 1940s. That means he was already retired. So he looked for the roles in the records of the military, and he was not there anymore. And so he found out that his name is Major Taniguchi. He was still alive, but he was now working in a bookstore. So the commanding officer who gave him the order, do not surrender. Do not take your life. Hold on to your ground. Stand your ground until I come back to relieve you. He forgot everything. He forgot that there is a soldier that he had ordered to stay there, and he went home to Japan, became just an ordinary person, and you know, maybe he's just filing books there and living a good life, enjoying his retirement benefits after the war, but he forgot all about the soldier. So when he learned from this young Japanese that one of his soldiers is still alive, you know, of course, he got guilty and, you know, he made a trip to the Philippines. And then when he went to the Philippines, that was the only time that this soldier, because he saw his commanding officer, that's the only time that he believed that the war was over. Yeah. Imagine 29 long years. Wow. See, he needed to hear it right from his commanding officer. So the next slide will show that there he is now, an old man from the young looking face. Now, he was turned over to the Philippine military. This was way back in the 1970s. So, he still have his sword and everything, you know. But he thought the war was not yet over until his commanding officer came. And so, the next slide will show us that there's the former president of the Philippines shaking the hand of this soldier, loyal, so loyal to the command that he was given, that he will not leave his post of duty until he was relieved by his commanding officer. Now, I don't believe that there's any soldier in our modern time that will be like him. Right? But this is true. This is history. And now, many years later, sometime in the after the 90s, in the next slide, we will show that he was already in his 80s. He went, that's the old man there with the glasses, he went back to the Lubang Island and, you know, just reminiscing the memories of all the people that he killed, actually. Right. Yeah, and you know, he had some money with him, and he gave the people just. It's not actually a payment for what the crimes that he did, but he was already given amnesty. He just wanted to remember that these were the people that he spent his life with. Now, why would I put this story up beforehand? Because it's not about the war, it's not about the soldier, but you can see the loyalty of this soldier, how he could obey a single order from a commanding officer that has not, that has no eternal value at all. You know, the Japanese, they have this the ancestral worship. They worship their emperor as their god. So it could be like a religious thing for them just to follow orders. Now, if we, the believers, the bride of Christ, could have that kind of loyalty, that if the Lord says, stand your ground, and we'll be so loyal like this soldier, I think rapture will take place. Right? Because that is the same order. I mean, the verses that we read from the three mighty men. These mighty men stood their ground. They defended the ground that David has assigned to them. Right? Now, let's look at this. In the next slide, we will see that this mighty man Adino, the Aznite, he lifted up his spear. The Bible says against 800 Philistines and slew them at once in the passageway. Now take note of his assignment. It's the passage. It's like the gate. Right. In other words, if you put it to modern language, he is the gate guard or the security guard of the gate. Right. It is not a glamorous position. If you are a soldier, you are assigned in the garrison of the camp, you will not earn your Medal of Valor there. Yeah. Even you stay there for 20 years of your life, you will not earn a gold cross or a military merit medal. You have to be in the battlefield, in the front lines. And then if you overcome the enemy, then you might get a medal of valor or something of honor. Right. But if you spend all the years of your life as a gate guard of a particular camp, maybe the best that you can get from the U.S. Army is maybe a good glass of water, you know. But they will not give you a medal for standing on the gate. In other words, the position that Adino had was a very basic, very simple, not so glamorous position. And yet, he said he defended that post against 800 Philistines. Right. Now, Eleazar, the son of Dodo, he defended a barley field. It's a place of vegetation. It's not even a war zone. It's like defending, if you have a strawberry field here, you defend it. What is so glamorous about a strawberry field? Nothing. No. See? But he was so faithful to the instruction of the king that he will defend it from Philistines who are stealing the crops every year. Right. Yeah. See? And Shammah, the son of Agi, he stood on the ground full of lentils. Again, these are vegetables. Insignificant vegetables. Yeah. Yeah. But said, that's your assignment. Right. You don't go there to the battlefield, to the front line. You just defend the lentils. There's no... It's not glamorous, you know, to defend lentils. Yeah. You will not get a gold cross defending lentils. But he became faithful in defending this from the Philistines. Now, what lesson can we get in these three mighty men? See? Let's look at the next slide. The characteristics of these three mighty men. These three mighty men did not run. Neither did they retreat when the odds were against them. Okay? It didn't matter. Oh, these are just lentils. We can just plant in some other place. No, that was his post of duty. Amen. They stood in that post of duty. Amen. And they did not run. They did not retreat. Now, these three mighty men did not also quit or surrender. But it seemed like it was the only logical thing to do. If you are one person and there are 800, you know, enemies there, of course you will run and you will say, this is just a passageway. We don't have to defend it at all. This is just barley plants, and that, you know, you can just plant it anywhere. Yeah. But it's not what they were defending. It was the instruction that was given to them. Amen. Like these three mighty men, we were given instructions to follow, to stand our ground, no matter what. Okay. See? So they did not quit. They did not surrender. And these three mighty men did not refuse to defend the seemingly insignificant parcel of ground. Now, take note of this parcel of ground. It was not very important. It was not the Pentagon. It was not the armory of the country. It has nothing to do with war, right? But they did not choose their position. They did not look for a glamorous position. They did not look for something that they will be recognized and people will appreciate them and will make them heroes for that matter. But these were simple grounds, but they have the instruction direct from the king. Okay? So in each case, God gave them victory, and after he saw the determination of this man to stand their ground. Now, sometimes God will give us a simple position in the church. A very simple position. But it's not so glamorous. You will not be standing in the pulpit preaching to people. You will not go out to missions. You know, it may be just elect to have to clean the floor, to clean the toilet. But that's your position. And God will measure us according to the position that he has given us. If God made you a mother, yeah, and you don't have any significant position in the church, but you become the best mother that you can be. When you go up there and said, see, you have done your part. See? I remember Brother Branham saying, when he was praying for a mother and he touched the hand of the mother, all, you know, hard and everything, he said, this is the hand of the mother. Now, what's the accomplishment of a mother? It has so many accomplishments that you cannot write it and you cannot brag about it. But because of that hand of a mother, amen, many people will grow up and, you know, become maybe used mightily by the Lord. So it's this three mighty men has characteristics that shows that whatever position that the Lord has assigned to us, we must be faithful to stand on our ground. We didn't shrink off from our responsibility. We did not just, oh, I want to be like this, I want to be like that, I want to be like him, I want to be like her. If that is what the Lord assigned to me, that's my portion, then so be it. So be it. See? Because God will measure us according to the assignment that he has given us. Now let me read you some quotations about this topic in the next slide. We will read here in the message, God's preparations. He said, so your trial sometimes is jewels. We will be tried. In a certain position that the Lord will give you and me, we'll have lots of trials, right? And when you go through temptation, he said, just hold your ground. In other words, stand your ground, right? Trials will come. And he said in the last portion, even if you're a little out of the way, if you're really in your heart, be sincere and stand firm on what you believe. God will respect you for that. Okay? Why does he respect you? Because you are following what God is telling you to do. See, you are not looking for some things or some, you know, some great things that you can do for the Lord. It's the best thing is you are doing something for the Lord, right? Now, in the next slide, we can also read here. He said, this is the message, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which was preached in 1957. It says, it's so strange to see when people take a stand for God. It looks like that the devil throws everything, right? In their way that he can throw in their way, but God makes a way through the way. When you start standing on your ground, you make a stand for God, for what your belief, everything. Then when you start doing that, see, the devil will throw everything. Amen. There was this young sister in Cambodia where he accepted the message about 4 years ago, way back in 2015. She's in her mid-20s when she accepted the message. And you know, modern young women, how they dress up and how they make their hair. And she was working just recently, she applied and was accepted to be like a sales manager or something. And, of course, they will require her to wear makeup, wear mini skirts, cut her hair, and look like, you know, like the other sales person, yeah? You know how companies use beautiful women, right? They have nothing to do with the kind of product, but they will look for beautiful women. See, and they will give him the right benefits and everything. And she was asking me, will I take this job or not? And I said, if it will compromise your faith, they may give you all the benefits. And they say that you're beautiful, you're smart, you can speak Cambodian, you can speak Chinese, you can speak English, and you can speak every language in the world. See, and they will give you this, but later on, it might compromise your faith. No, forget it. Forget about it. And she wanted the job because she needed the income, but she doesn't want the compromise. So I said, just pray to the Lord. Yeah. And when the general manager of this company found out that she was not wearing makeup, wearing pants or wearing mini skirts, I said, She said, no, this is my fate. And so the gentleman called for her. And she was nervous. She was afraid that she would be, you know, kicked out from her job. And they said, and the gentleman just said, why do you dress up like that? And she said, because this is my faith. And these are Buddhists, you know. Yeah. I don't know what their faith is, but they don't believe what we believe. And so she said, if you will require me to wear makeup, to cut my hair or to wear miniskirt, the job is yours. I'll go look for another job. Right. And the general manager said, no, we need you here. Wear what you want to wear. Right. Don't wear makeup at all. Right. Just be here with us because we need your asset. Right. See? But she needed to stand her ground. She needed to stand for, it's a simple testimony, but this is a little girl, this is a little young sister that needed to stand on her feet, right, to show everybody that no matter if you take me away from job, it doesn't matter. Yeah, right. God will just give you another job. Yeah. And you can hear testimonies right, after these things, because right, there will be people who will be standing on their ground. Amen. There will be, yeah, people who will lose everything just to maintain, right, the principles of the Word of God. Right. But again, on the other side, there will be people who will lose their faith and get everything from the world. Oh, yeah. See? But we can see believers, amen, young believers, old believers, that you know they could really stand for the Lord. Amen. Because if you take a stand, that's what the prophet is saying, amen, the devil will throw everything. Sure. They will give you threats and everything. Yep. See? And in the next slide, it says here, when God makes a promise and the position rise, that's the only test whether you really got the word or not.
Right. Yep.
God loves to test his people. Right? And he said, don't give up and go back into the word, because it's only a testing time. You know, when Ezra, when they were rebuilding the temple, if you read in chapter 4 of the book of Ezra, it says there that they tried to frustrate the purpose of Ezra. There were oppositions left and right. And then when Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall, there were the oppositions around them, telling them, discouraging them not to rebuild the walls. See? So every time you do something for the Lord, you go to missions, there will be opposition. And sometimes the opposition does not come from the outside. It comes from the inside. Right? They say, why are they doing this? There was a time in our church that I was doing mission works, and one of the members would say, why will the pastor do that? He doesn't need to do that. He doesn't need to do that. They're opposing what you're doing, when in fact they're doing nothing. See? And this is because of the spirit of envy, the spirit of jealousy. Because you are doing something for the Lord, they are not doing, and they try to discourage you. They try to influence the people, oh, yeah, to start criticizing, yep, right? Yep. So when we hear of critics in the ministry, that means something's wrong with the person criticizing, yeah, right? And the worst thing of it is it comes from the inside. Right. When we are criticized by people from the outside, it doesn't matter, no, because these are part of persecution and everything. Right. But when the persecution comes from the inside, that's a hard, right, thing. Yeah. But the prophet already said this. See, opposition will rise up.
Yep. Yep.
But don't be afraid. Right. He said, don't go back. Don't stop, right, doing what, right, the Lord told you to do.
Yep.
Because it's only a testing, yep, time.
Right.
He is just testing if you will do it with all your heart, with all your might, and with all your soul. Right? So these are things that are happening, and you know, oppositions, struggles, trials, temptations. Sometimes you go out in the field and you find, you see, there's no response from the people.
Right, yeah.
There's no response. Right. You'll be there years and years and years. I remember Brother Nestor, when he was starting this gathering the denominational ministers in Cambodia and in Vietnam, putting them into one room. There's an interpreter for the Cambodian language. There's an interpreter for the Vietnam language. And these are pastors, ministers from denominations. And year after year, he goes back there maybe 3 or 4 times a year. But it seems that nothing is happening.
Yeah.
And you know, when you go to the mission field and nothing is happening, you feel discouraged.
Yeah.
You feel you're just wasting your time, right, your money, and your effort.
Right?
Right? And you go home all exhausted and nothing's happening. But the prophet said, when you go to missions, you're never wrong.
That's right. Right.
Sometimes that's it, right, will not just, you know, pop out just right, immediately. But then after many years of toil and suffering and, you know, right, just patience. Because God is testing, will you do it because you love me?
Right.
Or you just want to do it because you want to post some mission works in your church? See?
No, but the prophet said, if you do it because of love, that means you love the people, you want them to hear the message, and God is obligated to look for these seeds. And so one day, people start accepting the message. These ministers went back to their churches, not all of them, but some of them, and they started sharing to their church, and one after another, they got baptized. And now there are five message churches in Cambodia. See? Now, this is not for the glory of the people or the missionaries going there. No, it is a proof that God is doing something in the mission field. The calling out is not yet finished. That's why we are here. That's why we continue to go out. We don't know where is the last predestinated laying down there, but we believe that they're still there. Right? Now, I will not condemn other ministers who are not going to the mission field because maybe they are called to their local churches alone. If I had my choice, I would stay in my church. You know, Brother Wade has been there. Brother John has been there. That could be my comfort zone. I just preach every Sunday, every midweek service, do a little counseling, drink a little coffee. Yeah. See, you know, that's a good life of a pastor in Manila, right? But there's something, the Bible call it a Macedonian call, right? Something's telling you, go out. Go somewhere else. Go out, get out of your comfort zone. Move to the places that nobody, no missionary has gone before. See? And I said, Lord, if I was 20 years younger, I could do that. But now I'm more than 50. Maybe you can let the younger ministers do it. But the Lord was speaking to my heart. That's the reason that I'm calling you, because you cannot do, you're not doing it by yourself alone. You need God, you know, you need this anointing. You know that you're physically, you're not as strong as you were young, but now God can use you. See? So whatever is being done in the mission field, it's not about me, it's not about the people you work with, it's about the Lord calling his people. See? So what is this? This is God testing us. Testing us. Will you do what the Lord wants you to do? If the odds are all there. See? If there are rejection and, you know, people do not like the way you're doing it, and it always discourages you. See? I've worked in the mission field for more than about 20 years ago, see, when I was 33. And, you will see when you're exposed to different cultures, different kind of people, they will say, I should have not quit my job. I should have stayed where I was. No, and you know, just work hard and give tithes and give offering, give to the missions, and you know, just relax and wait for the mission report. But sometimes the God will call you. And you cannot run away from that calling. And when God calls you to that calling, you'll have to give up everything. Right? And just to find out that when you are there, it's not that easy. It's like these three mighty men of David. Maybe they were mighty men, they were courageous, and said they were expecting a good assignment somewhere in the battlefield, somewhere in the glamorous area, that when they go back, there'll be a hero's welcome. Yeah. Right? But you don't become a hero by, you know, protecting barley.
Right.
You do not become a hero by protecting lentils.
Yeah, right.
But the Bible recorded them to be the three mighty men.
Right.
See? The others who were sent off in the battlefront, they were not recorded as a mighty man. It was these simple people that defended the simple position, simple assignment. But they were so faithful enough, amen, that they were able to catch the attention of God. And they said, these are the mighty men of David, the three mighty men of David. See, I believe they have their own opposition. I believe that they had everything that will discourage them along the way. See? But see, we are in a battle. See? In the next quote, it says here, this is in the quoting from the fifth seal. He said, notice, as the Antichrist went forth on his beast of ministry, you know, the beast of the white horse until the red horse and the black horse, God sent forth a beast to combat these four horses. He said, now watch. Then every time the beast rode on his horse, the Antichrist rode on his horse, on his beast, to announce his ministry, God sent his beast also in his own mass to announce his combat to it, to announce his ministry. God sent his beast also in his own mass to announce his combat to it. So here is the white horse. He sends the lion. Now the lion anointing, the ox anointing, the man's anointing, And the eagle's anointing, it did not start when the horses came in.
Amen.
It was always there. The Lord just have to lift the standard when the enemy comes in like a flood. The standard was already there. God was not surprised with the move of the Antichrist. Oh, he rode the white horse. Oh, he rode the red horse. No, he was already prepared.
Amen.
You see, he is here to, what is the prophet said? To combat the enemy.
Yeah.
In other words, he was already on a defense mode. When the enemy comes attacking,
yep,
I will raise my standard.
Right.
When he changed horse from a white horse to a black horse, I will give an ox anointing.
Right.
He knows how to battle his enemy.
Amen.
He knows how to combat his enemy.
Right.
See, we would think that God will just wait for the enemy to come. It's like a fighter on defense mode like that. No, he's always on the offensive.
Right.
God will attack the enemy before he even makes an attack.
Right.
See, you know the meaning of combat. Can you please share? This is the meaning of combat. It's actually an acronym, you see. It says counter offense movement before attack time.
Right.
So even before the enemy attacks, you're already right, making an offense.
Yeah, right.
See, you have heard the word like in a tournament, the best defense is always offense.
Right. Right.
Before he even thinks of attacking you, you already attack him.
Yeah.
That's the best way to combat the enemy. And the prophet in the message, the contest, he said, we have to study the tactics of the enemy.
Yeah.
Because when you know the tactics of the enemy,
amen,
you will know how to combat him, right, before he even attacks you.
Amen.
But if you know nothing about the tactics of the enemy, you will slip into deception and you think you're still doing the will of God,
yeah,
but you're not out of the will of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
So we need to study the tactics of the enemy, and the Lord has given us the whole Bible to study the every move of the enemy.
Right.
Because our life as Christians, see, it's all about war. It's all about battle. In the spiritual, I'm not talking about the natural war. In the message, three kind of believers. It says, as long as we're here on earth, we know that there'll be the cry, for we are in a battle. Because the battle is raging. Okay? As long as we are on earth. The battle is raging. And you promised and said, oh, the enemy would be like a roaring lion, loose among the people. We can see it everywhere, like a roaring lion, devouring what he may, because he knows that his time is short. He knows this time short. But again, we have a Heavenly Father who cares for us. Amen? And He's the one doing the battle for us. In the Old Testament, He said, this is the Lord's battle. See, this is the Lord's battle. We are just instruments in God's hand to fight the enemy. Every time we go out of the church, every time we go out of our home, we are always in a battle. Battle with the enemy. See? We are not battling against our husband or our wife or our children or our siblings or ministers against ministers, brothers against brothers. We are battling the enemy.
Right. Yeah.
See, in the message, I don't have the quotes anymore, but it says, in the crisis, the mystery revealed, it says that the Lord will let somebody to come into the church.
Sure.
You know, blend with the church, be in harmony with the church. Then a little while, he will throw a little poison here.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little poison of malice. Just to keep the others who are in close harmony, start fighting each other.
Right. Yeah.
Until you build a complex to a brother, build a complex to a sister.
Yeah.
See? That's the way the devil wants to do it. And if we are not careful, we will be looking at our brothers and our sisters as enemies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
See? And I believe being a message church for a very long time, you know how the devil has done to the many message churches in the whole world. Fighting against each other, you know, differences in doctrine, personal differences, whatever differences, but I think the devil is, you know, doing good work in that way. Because he has divided churches.
Right.
We are not surprised, we know that it will happen, but we need to stick to one another.
Right.
We need to bear the burden of one another.
Right?
So, there are two principles that I would like to share to you. This is not a very long message, but the true principles, two principles at least, when you fight a war. This also, you can also read this from the message. And this is the first principle. He said, in the message, faith is our victory. He said, any one of you that knows the Olympics or any athletic exercise, no matter if you arrive first in the race, but if you haven't played the game according to the rules, you're disqualified.
Right.
See?
Yeah.
In other words, if you are playing whatever game or athletic competition that is, you may be in the first, in the finish line first, but if you did not follow the rules of the game,
right.
You may be there, but you're disqualified. In other words, you lost, right? He said you have to play the rule right. And that is the way it is with human life, right? You can't play the rules of the game of life wrong and expect to win. See, you've got to play it according to God's word and the purpose that you were brought here. So that's the first principle.
Right.
We need to play the rules of the game, right?
Right.
See, I have had the privilege of seeing many ministers in different countries, and later on you will find out that, you know, they are not qualified to minister.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
Because the Bible is very clear in the qualifications of a minister, right? But just because they know the word, they have the gift to speak, they want to, and they make a mess out of the life of the people. Why? Because they may have the right anointing, but they are the wrong vessel. Even in the fivefold ministry, you have to play the rules of the game right. In other words, if you are not qualified to be a pastor, don't be a pastor. Right? You may have the gift of a pastor. You may know how to manage a church. You may put people into the knowledge of Christ. But if you are not qualified,
right.
You are in the wrong position.
Right?
So every one of us, not only the fivefold ministry, but all of us here, right? We need to follow. That's why the Bible says we have to strive lawfully.
Right?
We have to strive lawfully because that's the way, that's the first principle. To follow it according to the rules of the game. The rules of the Bible, right? And the second principle, if we are going to win, he said, this is in the message, Mighty Conqueror. He said, if we are going to win, we've got to get back to the winning principle. Now what's the winning principle? He said, all these great signs and wonders that we have seen, to God we give praise. But if those things isn't built upon godly Christian life, love and respect for God and his people, it will fail. In other words, I can go out do a ministry that the Lord has told me, but if my motivating factor is not love, love for God and love for the people, then I have other personal agenda, then it will be useless. It will fail. See? It may last for a while. People may come to the Lord because of that ministry, but if my motive and objective is not love for God and love for the people, the prophet said, it will fail. So that's the basic foundation. He said, you have to, all the things that we will be doing for the Lord should be built in Christian love. Christian, godly Christian love and respect for these people, for God. And I believe if most of us will be doing this, all the believers in the world, then there will be less trouble. There will be less fighting amongst each other. Right? Because why are you doing this? Because you love. You know, Brother Branham one time was asked, are you preaching because you want to be in the rapture? He said, I can go fishing all day long and still be in the rapture. But the reason why he preaches is because he loved God and he loved the people of God. Right? When you go out, you preach, you share, you witness to people, it's not because you want to tell them that you know much of the Bible, because you love them. You love them. And you know that you are born again, that you know that you have experienced the new birth, but these people need to hear something. Amen. They want to see the life.
Amen.
Right? The life from the people. See? That's why I'm telling our congregation, what's the evidence that you have the Holy Ghost? You can see it in your life.
Yeah.
You can see it in your life. You don't have to ask other people. Look at the way you live. Look at the way you speak. Look at the way you think when you are alone. Because in front of many people, you may say that this man is spiritual. See? But between me and my wife, she knows my weakness. I cannot hide from her. I can jump and shout in the pulpit. But if my wife will say, I was not blessed, it's useless. I have to quit my ministry. I always tell my congregation, if my wife and my children will not believe me, I will stop. Because what's the use of trying to be a blessing to other people when your own family is not blessed?
Right.
I'm not saying that they should be all, you know, faithful believers because they have to experience their own conversion, right? They have to be born again.
Right.
When our children are born in our family, they're not yet born again.
Right.
They may grow up in a message church.
Yep.
They may hear the word. They may sing songs.
Yep. Yep.
They may do all these things. But unless they are born again,
right.
See? They will fall.
Amen.
They will backslid. Once you give them to the world, like, you know, experience the things of the world, they go out, they backslide. It's not your fault. But God allows them so they will have their own new birth experience. See? But the problem, if our children is not believing us, they might say that I cannot follow you, Dad. I cannot follow your ways, but I believe you. I respect you. That's good. That's good. That's good enough for us. See? Because they say something in us, but God's grace is needed for them to be born again. Right? That's why I have four kids and I tell them, you have to be born again. You have to be converted. It's not I'm a pastor, you automatically become. No. You will have to have your own experience that nobody can take away from you. Nobody. See? And because this will have to happen, right? This will have to happen. It makes us humble. It makes us humble. Why would you think that the prophet, having Billy Paul as his son, backslid for a while? Because if he did not backslid, if these things did not happen, maybe all people will, you know, make their whole family as God. See? But God allows these things to happen. So you will not be looking at a man. You remember Elijah, when he was about to get off the scene, and Elisha was following him wherever he goes. In the book of Kings, right? Wherever he goes, and the prophet said, get out, go back to the school of the prophets. And he said, no, I will be with you. As the Lord live it, I will be with you. And so when the time came that he has to leave the scene, here is Elisha looking at Elijah, and Elijah said, what do you want? And Elisha said, I want a double portion of what you've got. Double portion of what you got. And here was the condition of Elijah. You have to see me when I am taken up away. Right? Elijah has to see God, how God will take him away. In other words, Elijah was telling Elisha, you have to see the work of God in my ministry. Not my ministry. Not me. It's not about Elijah. It's about the God of Elijah working in Elijah. So when the prophet said he has to have the singleness of focus, the singleness of mind. He was looking at Elijah, but he was looking beyond Elijah. And we saw it coming, the double portion came. And before the double portion came, he saw the second handed robe falling up, falling up, falling down. And he took the second handed robe, smote the river and said, where is the God of Elijah? He was not looking for Elijah anymore. He was not looking for the prophet of his age. He was looking for the God of that prophet of the age. Because he will have that double portion. See, what these scriptures are teaching us. We have Pastor Samuel there as our pastor. We saw the move of God in his life through his testimony, through his preaching, and everything that the Lord has done through the mission fields to them. But we need to see the God working in his ministry. So when the time comes, if the Lord tarries and somebody takes the place of Brother Samuel, we can see still the same God working in the pulpit, right? Because it's not about the person. Right. It's about the Spirit of God behind that person. And then we will be looking at the right thing. Right. See? Right. But many people, sad to say, have missed it. They look at the person. They look at the instrument. But for God to say, I can say that this guitar is a very beautiful guitar, right? But it will not play by itself. Unless Brother Aaron took it and played for it. It is a good guitar. Otherwise, it's just an ordinary thing. See? And same is true with all of us. See? It is the same thing to all of us. That if we will not recognize the God working in our life, then all these things will be useless. Amen. All these things that we are doing will come to an end, and we will never see. But you know, if we want to stand in our ground, we have to see what the Lord is doing in the life of every believer, every sister, every brother. That's why when I look to as I grow old, get older, I look to the congregation, and I can see how the Lord is dealing with the sister. I can see how the Lord is dealing with the brother. They have different problems. They have different things that they are going through. But you know that there's the same God that's moving in their life. Then I won't judge this as more spiritual than this one. All of them are children of God. And as a pastor, you'd learn to have compassion to them. And you know that you're just an instrument for them to be blessed by the Lord. See, I'm not greater than them. They're not greater than me. But we have to harmonize as part of the body of Christ.
Right.
It is the same thing as a husband and wife. That we have to harmonize. Right. As we become, we are 30 years married already, and you know, when you're young, you get married, and after 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, you learn to realize that you have so many differences, right? So many differences that you never thought that will exist in your marriage. You thought that after your wedding, you will live happily ever after, the end. But it's not that way. Most of us here who are married for many years, we know that's only fairy tales, right? But the truth is, we have to struggle every single day. See? And now we are 30 years in the message. As we look back, we have so many things that we have, you know. We learn to give way for each other. Not because I like what she's doing or she likes what I'm doing, but, you know, we learn to harmonize with each other. I remember a time when we were not yet, the first time when we got married, she doesn't know how to cook. And my favorite was a fried chicken. So she cooked fried chicken. And I was, you know, you can see brown fried and everything. Then we taste it. She forgot to put the salt. So it's not good, right? But later on, you know, she learned to cook and I learned to eat what she cooks.
That's right.
So that's harmony, right? That's harmony. But what I'm trying to say, it takes time. It will take time. Harmony doesn't happen overnight. So our harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ takes time. At first, we seem to be like partial Christians. But as time goes by little as we get older in the Lord, we learn the ways of the Lord. And you know, the Lord is very patient to us. He will always wait for us to be matured, right? He will not condemn us for not following Him immediately. And that's the grace of God. And so what right do we have to condemn people if they are not able?
Right.
See,
right.
We don't look at them, you know, as somebody inferior to us, but we always look at them as somebody who part equal with us. We are only creatures saved by the grace of God. See, so what I'm trying to say this afternoon is we have to do our best in everything that God has placed in your hand, no matter how small or how big it is, no matter it will be recognized by other people or if it will not be recognized by other people, we have to do it the best that we can. My children, they have their own ministry by the grace of God. Some's doing the video, some's doing the technical, some are doing the Sunday school. So I just told them, what you're doing right now is actually you're doing it for the Lord. Not everybody has the gift or the opportunity to do that, but you know, every one of us will be given the opportunity to do something for the Lord. Let me read to you. This is the last scripture that I will read. This is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. He said, in verse 10, he said, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might.
Amen.
For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where we are going. See, if you will not do it today, and one day we die, we cannot do anything anymore in the grave, right? We cannot even dig our own grave, right? We cannot even choose where we want to be buried. You can put it in a memorial plan, but if your children will not follow it, it's useless, right? And you cannot do anything about it. You can tell to your children, when I die, I want to wear this suit, and they will not give you that suit. You cannot complain. See? You cannot demand anything if you're dead. See, that's why the preacher is telling us here: whatsoever thy hand finds to do today, not tomorrow. Whatever lays in your hands, do it with all your might. Do it with your best. If Brother Samuel gave me the opportunity to preach today, I'll preach as the way the Lord leads me. Because tomorrow I may not be alive anymore. See. But I will, if this is my last preaching, this is my last preaching, I will preach as the best that I can. Right? Now, he said, I returned. He said, verse 11, and so under the sun, that the race is not for the swift, nor the battle is to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to the men of understanding. So you have the swift, the strong, the wise, and the man of understanding. See? Or the man of skill. You know, favor to the skill. So these are five kinds of people, right? He said, he's telling here, all these things are not just for the wise people. Oh, yeah. All these things are not just for the fast and the strong and the man of understanding. Right. No, but he said, but time and chance happens to them all.
Yes, right.
In other words, God will give us the opportunity. God will one day knock to your door, give you an opportunity to serve Him. It might be as small as the three mighty men, but it is an opportunity for you and me to serve Him. And if he can entrust us with the little things, He can entrust us with the bigger things. So what will we do? As the Bible said, do it with all our might. Give our best shot. We may be scarred along the way. We may be wounded along the way while doing, because we are fighting a battle. But you know, in the message, time-tested memorials. See, Brother Branham was giving an example before he ended the message. He said, there was a king by the name of Augustus Caesar. A general in the Roman army by the name of Augustus Caesar. And he just came from a big campaign against the enemy. And the emperor called him. He said, you will pass by it, and the king will honor, the emperor will have to honor Augustus Caesar, the great general, for him because of all the accomplishment that he did in the battlefield. And said, before I go there, I want to have we be side by side, a soldier that stood on the ground, who fought the battles. And so when they made the announcement that Augustus Caesar will ride his chariot together with this chosen soldier, one only, everybody prepared. They shined their armors, they trimmed their plumes, they shined their sword, they shined their shield, hoping that they will be standing side by side by the great general to face the king and receive the honors. And so all of them were lined up, all of them. And when Augustus Caesar, the general, he was looking at them one by one, like an inspection, a Saturday inspection during the parade. And he was looking at all the armors are shining, all the shields are shining, all the swords were sharpened. But he said, I cannot see what I want to do. He was looking for something else.
Right.
And he said to the sergeant of the platoon, he said, do you have any more soldier? He said, yeah, we have one, but it's not in good condition. And where is he? He said, he's right there. He's all crippled up, all scars and wounded and everything. And he said, where did he get those scars?
Right.
Those wounds? And he said, you might as well go and ask him. And he said, soldier, where did you get your scars? Where did you get all those wounds? He said, out there in the battlefield, fighting for my Lord Caesar.
Amen.
Amen. And said, this is the man that I'm looking for. A battle-tested soldier. Not those soldiers with the shining armors and the shining swords, shining helmets. But this one has a proof that he fought and he stood his ground.
Right.
Now when the Lord Jesus comes, Lord Jesus Christ comes in to take us away, He will not look for soldiers with shining armor. He will look for your scars. And He will ask you. He will ask, wait, where did you get that scars? And He will say, out there in the field, fighting for my Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, come with me. And we will sit in the throne together with the emperor. Hallelujah. Why? Because you stood your ground. So we, with that thought in mind, we will not be afraid. We will not be afraid of the battles that we'll be facing. We will not be afraid of failures. We will not be afraid of people who will discourage you from doing things for the Lord. Because you know, at the end of the day, it will be about Jesus Christ. It will be about standing on the ground that God has assigned to each one of us. And we will have that thought. If we will have that peace in mind, then I believe that the Lord will be faithful enough for us. See? You know, the message has taught us that the Lord has given us power. He said the term is the most powerful weapon. And you will read in one part of the scriptures, the Lord has given you the most powerful weapon, and that's prayer.
Right.
And in another message, He said the most powerful weapon is love.
Yeah.
And another thing, He said the most powerful weapon is committal.
Yeah.
So that's three.
Yeah.
And the most powerful weapon is faith. That's four.
Right.
And He said the most powerful weapon is God's word. You are fortified with the word.
Right.
So which is the most powerful weapon? The prayer?
Right.
I think all of them.
Amen.
All of the above.
Amen.
See?
Right.
if the message is telling us that the Lord has given us the most powerful weapons, prayer, love, committal, and all these things, the Bible says no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper.
Right.
So how can we lose this battle? How can we lose this war against the enemy? We have the most powerful weapon, and no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper.
Right.
We are always on the winning side.
Right.
We are always on the winning side. We just have to know where to side.
Right?
Don't never give up.
No.
See? Let us stand our ground. Like that Japanese soldier that we saw. Took 29 years waiting just for a single instruction of a man that he himself has forgotten all about the war.
Yeah. Right.
But our Lord will never forget the war.
Amen.
He will never leave us in the battlefront.
Amen.
He will be with us, even in us,
Amen.
To fight for our battles.
Glory.
So I pray, my brothers and sisters, if the Lord allows us to see each other again, we will still be standing on our ground.
Amen.
Amen. So may God bless you. And it is my privilege to be with you, to shake your hands once again. And we're looking forward, Brother Wade, going to the Philippines if the Lord allows him. But continue to pray for us in the Philippines. Continue to pray for the works of the Lord in the Philippines. Time will pass, and maybe we'll pass on these things that we are doing to the younger generation. But again, everything that you have done, you prayed for, the support that we got from you. You have seen many pastors from the Philippines coming here your way. And I can tell you, it's just my honor to be working with those pastors, Brother Roel, Brother Danny, Brother Nestor, Brother Lanlan. And there's a pretty much good battle against the ministers in the Philippines, but I am thankful that we have a good team out there in Manila.
Yeah,
and you are part of that team.
Yeah,
so thank you, and may the Lord bless you. Amen.
Amen.
We can all stand up and offer a word of prayer to the Lord.
Yeah.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, this is such a time of assurance to all of us that whatever instruction that you have given us, you will never forget us. Unlike the example that we had, the commanding officer who gave the order to this faithful soldier, he forgot all about this soldier for the last 29 years. But you are our commanding officer. You will never forget us. You will always be mindful of the assignment that you have given us. And you will always equip us to fulfill that assignment. Thank you, Father God, for giving us the grace and the ability to stand on our ground. I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord, that as we await for your near coming, we will always be faithful to stand on our ground. And may you bless the pastor here, the ministry here, Lord, all the brothers and the sisters that you are using, Lord, to build up our faith. May you bless them in return, Lord, and may we all be strengthened by your word every day of our life. This is our prayer, Father God, as we bring back to you the glory and the honor in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. God bless you all.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
But the scripture says, when you've done all, to stand. When you finished it all, to stand. Way to do it. Come on, musicians. Sing a song. Really appreciate our brother. Appreciate his concern and the things that they're doing there in the Philippines, because they're doing some great work traveling to a lot of those places. And all. And like he says, you got a part to do with it, because a little bit of money we send, that helps them to do. But we really appreciate it. Amen. What we got? Victory is mine. Anybody have a need? The altar's open. Come and let's see. Amen. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine.
Right.
Victory today is mine.
Glory.
I told
Satan
to get
on
behind
the
little
table.
it to them. Tell them happiness is mine. Happiness is mine. He is mine. Remember, he ain't nothing but a bluff. He does a good job bluffing, but that's all he is. He is mine. I told Satan to get me behind. Victory today is mine. Our brother and his family will be leaving tomorrow. Brother,
I told Satan to get me behind. Victory today is mine. And joy is mine.
Joy is mine. Joy today is mine.
I told Satan to get me behind.
What about it?
Joy today.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Brother Durant and his family will be leaving tomorrow. Lord willing, going to the Philippines to be there for a couple of months. So let's just pray that God will bless them and take care of them. So that's what we desire.
Strength today. I told Satan, get me behind. Join today.
Amen and amen. You believe it? Everything belongs to me. It's all mine. Satan's just trying to take it away from me. Well, he's going to have trouble battling because he's got to fight it out with me. We're at least going to let him know we're in the battle, I think. Might not can win because our Lord's the one that wins, but let me do the best that I can. Let's sing one more before we go, brother. What we got?
I've got Peace Like a River on page 349.
Amen. Anybody else that would just have a need?
I've got peace like a river.
I got peace like a river.
I got peace like a river
in my soul.
I've got peace like a river.
I got peace like a river.
I've got peace
like a river in my soul.
I've got love like a mountain.
I've got love like a fountain.
I've got love like a fountain in my soul.
I've got love like a fountain. I've got love like a fountain.
I've got love like a fountain in my soul. I've got joy like a person. I've got joy.
Do you? No matter what comes or goes, we just rest in Him. Just make sure you tell Brother Vernon how much you appreciate him. We do. We appreciate their work they're doing. Appreciate their stand for the message. going out and doing those things over there where we can't go. So we can just help send them and let them go, you know, because that's what it's made for. All right. Make sure you tell them we appreciate him, appreciate his wife coming with to be with him and to be here with us. First time she's been to the United States. So, you know, we say welcome to her. Maybe she's found out us southern folks are a little bit more friendlier than they are up north and ways and things, but that's not against any of them. That's just their ways and their nature, but we just want to make sure everybody's happy about it, right? Amen. Because that's the way it is. Let's all pray and just remember, pray one for another. Remember us this week. Our sister passed away there and they'll be having the funeral. We'll try to get the announcements in later as to whatever the services are. But, you know, she was like 86 or so, 86 years old, you know. And got one more sister that's in, she's almost 90, then two brothers above me. So, you know, when the baby's 78 years old, you know, the rest of them's getting on up in age. But just pray the Lord would be with the family, okay? Father, we thank you. We love you, and we thank you for the word that we've heard today. And, Father, help us to be like our brother said it. When we've done all, to stand. No matter what comes or goes, just stand and let you take care of it. Because you'll defeat the enemy on every hand. You already have. And we just appreciate it. We pray that you'd bless Brother Vernon and his wife as they travel on tomorrow and flying on to California and then back up and north and all and then going back home. And we just pray you'd take care of them. And be with all the brothers and sisters around the world of your little bride that's in this hour trying to make a stand for the word. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.